You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here. Right Side Radio. Like the man said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And I say it all the time, but I'm going to say it again. If you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability, because this is the powerhouse News Talk station for North Alabama, but if you find yourself driving out of Southern Tennessee, Northern Alabama, and you can't quite get the show, just go to your smartphone, click on the internet, go to rightsideradio.org and click listen live, and wherever you is, there we is. And we got people that do that all over the place that listen to the show. Hey, listen, I was talking about, and I'm going to go to the phones here in just a minute, but I was talking about the fact that President Biden has issued this vaccine mandate speech, which is so unusual, or maybe not, because he is known for flip-flopping. Because what I was about to say was unusual was just last year when he was, you know, campaigning from the basement and all that kind of stuff, he literally said at a press conference he did not believe it was his place to ever mandate vaccinations. Well, now what's happening? Now what's happening, if you look at it, I'm looking at an article right now on National Review by Charles Cook. The article's titled, Biden is Stuck in a Bind of His Own Making. And literally, Cook points out, and he's rightfully pointing it out, that President Biden's approval rating is in the 30s. Now that's, by the way, that's abysmal. I mean, that's awful. He's got the lowest approval rating, I believe, of any president ever at this point in his term. So he's down in the 30s, 39%, depending upon which survey you look at. But and only 42% of people approve of the way he's handling COVID, which is what used to be his so-called strong suit. And that's left him with two choices, Charles Cook says. Number one, he can admit that with the exception of providing resources and pep talks, there's not much any president can really do to stem COVID-19. Or number two, in a desperate attempt to seem like he's in control, he could start talking like a monarch and issuing all kinds of illegal executive orders, and that apparently is what he chose to do. So he went back on his prior statements. He appears to be trying to scramble and show he's in charge and doing something, anything. Please, please, y'all, please know that I'm in charge. I'm the president. My people tell me I am. But this ain't good. And listen, it's not going to stand. I'm a pragmatic optimist, all right? A pragmatic optimist basically is my way of saying I look at the facts. I live within the confines of where I am. I assess things. I know sometimes the glass is half empty, but more often than not, I find a reason to make sure it looks like half full. And I'm just telling you right now, this is a bad situation, but I do not think he's going to get away with it. I do believe he's got a fight on his hands, and I don't think he can win this fight. Now, there are aspects of it that may wind up getting kicked into gear and we have to get it stopped in court. But in the meantime, those of you out there trying to figure out how in the world you're going to live under that kind of regime, that kind of, overreach, just understand, I don't think he's going to get away with it. And it's going to take a long time to implement, even if he does have the authority to go to it. Well, let's go to the phones. I can't see the screen right now. Copper, who have I got? Is it Joe? Yeah, Joe's on line four. Hey, Joe, thanks for holding through the break there. Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What you got?
Awesome, Phil. I really appreciate your show. Enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you.
I just want to make a couple of quick comments, and I'm going to hang up and I'll listen to you.
Okay.
When Joe Biden did that speech and was talking about protecting the American people, I just wonder why, you know, he didn't apply that same. It sounded like he was a desperate plea of his job was to protect the American people. Why didn't that apply to the people in Afghanistan? And why doesn't that apply to the people at the border?
That's a thank you. Great question. Hey, thanks, Joe. We appreciate you being in the audience, and I know you're on the road, so be safe driving, man. But listen, you're exactly right. You are so right. Right now, the southern border is out of control, and Afghanistan is the biggest foreign policy debacle we've ever seen. And there are Americans, United States citizens, that are still trapped in a foreign country right now with the inability to get out because our own State Department is holding them up. And Joe's point is exactly right. If his job is to protect citizens, like he says it was, then why isn't he? Why is he leaving our border, at the southern border, so open that fentanyl and fentanyl deaths are skyrocketing because they're being trafficked across that border? And why is it then that there is minimal amount of effort towards COVID controls at that southern border, and yet he's going to mandate that every employer with 100 employer group with 100 employees is going to have to go through this just absolutely outrageous list of testing and or mandate vaccinations with paid time off. And I mean, he's literally trying to destroy the economy in an effort to save it, which is just boggling my mind. I see we got a caller again, line 5, Zach from Muscle Shoals. Hey, Zach from Muscle Shoals, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. What you got on your mind?
Yeah, Bill, I think that there's a push for these people to get this vaccinating done quickly as they can, because the more the longer it takes, the more information leaks out from other parts of the country and the world, and these other medical people who are telling us that the vaccine isn't that effective and that it's not what it was supposed to be and that it could be dangerous. And I think they want to get all that done before people wise up and figure out the real story.
Well, let me ask you this.
Also, hey, Zach, anybody who's ever
Hey Zach, let me ask you real quick though. Why would you think they would want to people to do it if they believed it was dangerous? Why would they be pushing it, in your opinion?
Was and just a smart guy, you know. So he's always been like this.
Well, and so Zach, let me ask you, though. I was just asking, I don't know if you heard me a minute ago. Why would you think, though, that they would be pushing something if they know that it's dangerous? Why would you think they would even do that?
Well, judging from past observations, there's probably money okay. And contracts that have to be honored. You know.
Okay, that's, you know what, that's not a bad answer. All right, hey, Zach, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you being on the air with us. Zach from Muscle Shoals. Hey, so, you know, there is a lot of money involved. I don't know that there's a – I mean, I'll say this. I don't believe and this is not to say that I disregard Zach's point, because there is a lot of money involved, and Big Pharma is definitely making bank on this. I'm not of the opinion right now that they are trying to force something on us, believing that it's bad for us in some type of strange conspiracy population control type thing. I'm not going there. I'm not looking at this as a massive Tuskegee experiment or something like that. But what I am seeing, though, is that they think they've got something and they have to exert control over it. And the only way to do that is to exert control over us. That I do believe is happening. And I also believe, too, that the folks who are in charge right now are big government type folks. President Biden is a big government liberal. And Vice President Kamala Harris is a big government liberal. Susan Rice and everybody in that administration are big government liberals who do not own responsibility. They do not believe you start from the point of freedom. They literally say, in their opinion, that government is the end-all, the answer. And President Biden does not believe that extends to the states, though, at least not so long as they're in his way. I mean, they'll go out to California and campaign for Gavin Newsom, but they're not going to stand by while a Kay Ivey or a Ron DeSantis or a Kristi Noem or a Tate Reeves steps up and says, not on my watch, you're not doing it. Well, then he's going to try and get him out of the way. That's an amazing thing. Well, listen, I want to do a clip right now. This one's a little bit longer, but Copper, go ahead and get clip 2 ready, and you give me the thumbs up when you're ready with it. She is giving me the thumbs up so fast today, man. You're just on the ball. All right, so clip 2 is Greg Gutfeld. Greg Gutfeld has really, really come out. I mean, when he first got out there, I just didn't quite take to his style, but I've really gotten pretty fond of it because he just says it like it is. And he talks about the fact that what the president has done in this, you know, moment, instead of uniting people, instead of trying to bring us together, instead of trying to address people's concerns, he lectures them and he becomes the divider in chief. Go ahead and play clip 2.
Fire. My question was this. Is that speech going to persuade any of those?
It doesn't persuade any.
No.
The great unifier is saying that all those are vaxxed are mad at those that aren't. So this is not true. It's all there to just gin up more animosity and cause division. Basically, he said the unvaxxed are the new terrorists. That's what he did. Like, he showed more anger towards that 80 million, this amorphous 80 million that he actually won't specify what constitutes the 80 million, which is kind of interesting. But he showed more anger towards them than the orderly and kind Taliban, right? The very business-like. He also lied. He lied so much. And he was basically, this whole thing was, he was blowing his own horn because he blew it in Afghanistan. This was his way to show that maybe he is competent. So he had to gin up the fear. It was an interesting little game of saying everything's great, but it could just totally go to hell in a minute.
And so it wouldn't be my fault.
And it wouldn't be my fault. It's these other people's faults. And then he's comparing the past, like before he got there to now. People have to remember, this is a guy that said, don't trust the vaccines.
Yep.
That's the guy. The same guy who said that is now saying people who say that are publicly dangerous or endangering public health. Or blocking public health was the word that he used.
All right. So well put. What are you thinking, Copper?
Yeah, so what if part of that 80 million are the children who haven't gotten vaccinated yet?
Well, that's a great point. No one's clarified.
Yeah.
So there's no vaccine approved for anybody under the age of 16 yet. Right? It's 16, I think.
I thought it was 12, because some states have started requiring it. Like, California just announced that 12 and up must take it.
Yeah, they did. But I listened to that same report today. So what you're referring to, I think, is the L.A. Unified School District, second largest school district in the United States. See, I do my research. This is all off the top of my head. Are you impressed
nice.
Right now? But literally, the L.A. Unified School District came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and said they are going to mandate vaccines for all students 12 and up. And yet the report that I was listening to said that's interesting because there is no FDA approved vaccine for anyone under the age of 16. There is a emergency use authorization vaccine, but there is not an FDA approved for that age group. So they are going to mandate that a shot that is not FDA approved be given to children. I'm just telling you, y'all, this whole thing is completely out of control. And some of you out there who are scared to death and have yet to go out to dinner in a year and a half, it's time to wake up. This is an endemic, not a pandemic. And I'm going to break that down for you a little bit more when we come back from the short break that's coming up on us. But let's go ahead and take that short break. And I will come back. And we're going to talk about the fact that you're going to have to start getting over it. Now, do not take that to say, I think this is not a big deal. I know people with COVID right now. I know people in hospitals right now. But I also know that we have a constitution. We have a nation that life must go on. And we cannot allow ourselves to be lulled into some sense of complacency that says my freedoms don't matter as long as the Biden administration wants to declare a pandemic. Well, we're not in a pandemic. We've moved to the point of being an endemic. And I'll tell you more about that. We come back after the break. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Hey, listen, I got to tell you real quick about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions. They are amazing at putting people back to work. And that's a big deal right now. A lot of folks are still looking for jobs, and a lot of employers are looking for people to come fill out their ranks. So if you are one of those who is looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama. If you are an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, then I'm just telling you, go to ZLAUSA.com, and they'll start working with you. They can literally do all the recruiting, the drug testing, the background checks, all of it. They can take care of those things for you. They're so good at what they do. And they are literally just putting people back to work on a daily basis. And ZLA, they like to say at ZLA Solutions, we don't make it, we make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Well, listen, I'm going to wind up this subject. We got to move on to something else. This is a big, big weekend. We're going to talk about 9/11 after the next break. But right now, let me just wind this up a little bit and give you an idea. So first of all, please understand when I say things like what I said before about, you know, get out of the house if you haven't gone to dinner in a year and a half, I would encourage you to do so. Now, I realize, though, when I say that some people are, you know, more isolationist because they have some underlying health conditions or they have some other things that literally prevent their ability to do so. I totally get that. And that's reasonable. That's understandable. But I think it's also time for those who have been living in fear. The fear mongering that has been coming out of D.C. and out of the media has stretched us so thin in some ways as a society. It's time for you to remember life, all right, and to be willing to step back out and to reengage. But all that to say, the guilt and the shaming that are coming out of this, please understand, there are experts that are saying that we're really kind of past pandemic now. We're to the point of what's being known as an endemic. Endemic, it's an official word. I'm learning this myself. I'm looking at a story right now I pulled off of Global News, and it interviews a Dr. Brian Conway. He's a medical director of Vancouver Infectious Disease Center, and he says that an endemic infection is one that still needs to be dealt with, but we've learned that we have to live with it because we don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. He gives some examples in here. He talks about things like HIV, hepatitis C, other sexually transmitted diseases, and those are things that have become endemic to our society, and we manage them. Folks, COVID is not going to go away fully. It's going to be here to some extent. Let's go ahead and accept that fact. That being said, we're going to learn to live within those confines. And I don't mean like live a new normal with masks. No, life's going to return to normal, but it takes the people moving it into that direction. And literally, he says, a pandemic involves an uncontrolled spread of an infection, something the world's been dealing with for over 18 months. And he says, in a situation moving from pandemic to endemic, we understand that it is not quite yet going to go away, and we are going to continue to deal with it. Now, Dr. Mark Siegel, who I respect greatly. Now, Dr. Siegel has been very pro-vaccination, I'll be honest. You see him all the time on Fox. But Dr. Siegel has literally said, with regards to President Biden, if we've learned anything, President Biden, he says, it is that shaming does not work. Solutions have to be flexible, not superimposed like judgmental dictums. Well, Copper, do we have time for that clip? Let's go ahead and play that last clip I've got. This is President Biden, 1 minute long, who sounds like the angry old man yelling at people to get off their grass. Play that clip five.
Simple, straightforward, period. Next, I will sign an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated. All. And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated. If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce. And tonight, I'm removing one of the last remaining obstacles that make it difficult for you to get vaccinated. The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated.
You can stop there. You can stop there. Wow. Get off the grass and get vaccinated while you're at it. That's where we're at, folks. The angry old man yelling at you. Well, folks, we're going to change the subject when we come back. It's time to reflect on something entirely different. Something that brings up stirs of emotion and yet pride at the same time. 9/11. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. We'll be right back.